for the good news in which we learn as we read and hear the scriptures. Help us to take in the good news. Help us to follow you day by day. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And the text, while he, that is the younger son, was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. And that's Luke 15, verse 20. Now, Jay Zorgoski, he teaches in the economics department at Ohio State, and he wondered something a few years ago. He said, when people receive an inheritance in North America, what difference does that make to their lives? And using the Bureau of Vital Statistics, he discovered something quite alarming, actually, about what happens when people receive an inheritance. He learned that within 2 years of receiving it, one-third of Americans, at least, had negative savings. That is to say, they had no savings, and they had actually accumulated more debt after being given a substantial sum of money. He's quoted as saying, the vast majority of people blew through it quickly, he wrote. Now, I think we need to keep this fact in mind as we consider today's gospel reading, the well-known parable called the parable of the prodigal son, or sometimes it's called the prodigal and his brother, because indeed there are two sons who are involved. This parable is told as one of several stories told by Jesus in response to the Pharisees and the scribes. Let's remember that the religious authorities of the Lord's day were criticizing him for spending time with grievous sinners. The Lord even ate with them. Shocking, shocking to the religious authorities. So the Lord is telling this parable as a response. And let's notice that both sons in this parable were flawed, but in different ways. And sure, the people whom Jesus spent time with were flawed. But were the scribes and Pharisees also full of sin? So let's briefly review this parable. Man had two sons, and the younger son asks for his share in the inheritance before the father dies. Now, in the Middle Eastern context in which this was first told, this would be shocking behavior. And in fact, the young man is wishing that his father were dead so he could get some of the assets. And in a sense, the young man does become dead to his father. They're no longer in relationship because the young man goes to a far country and he wastes his inheritance. Things like sexual conquest and prostitution, excessive drinking, wild living, so on. And when the money runs out, the young man loses his fair weather friends. He ends up working in a pig farm. And he's so hungry that he wants to eat the slop the pigs were consuming. Now, this would be a second shocking point to the original Jewish listeners, who viewed pigs as unclean animals, unsuitable for human consumption. Humiliated, half-starved, and much wiser, the young man devises a plan to go back to his father's household. The young man knows he doesn't deserve a place of status in the household, so he plans to ask his father humbly if he might be a hired servant somewhere on the property. But the father in this story sees his younger son from far away. And he's filled with compassion and throws a great party. His younger son has been, in some sense, dead to him. Now he is alive, and the relationship is restored, and the household rejoices. But not everyone is happy. The dutiful older son has been working in the fields, and he sees that a party is taking place. He learns that his younger brother has returned, and he's immediately resentful. He refuses to participate in the celebrations, and he sulks outside instead. His father comes out to try and persuade the older boy to come in. But hauntingly, the Lord Jesus ends the parable without ever telling if the older brother is reconciled and joins the celebrations or not. Now, most of the time that this parable is told, it's told from the context or the perspective of the sons. Many times, preachers will ask the assembled congregation if we're like the younger son, not properly thoughtful of our elders, far too interested in the attractions of this world, far too slow to recognize what our natural relationship is to be to our Heavenly Father by our own efforts. Or of this parable, preachers will sometimes invite the congregation to consider if we are more like the older son, doing our faithful duty, but not in the right spirit, and thereby missing out on the reconciling love of our Heavenly Father. Are we doing the right churchy things, but with hearts actually resentful to the former loose liver who is welcomed, of course, into this fellowship? More likely, there are times in our lives when we might recognize we've been a little bit like the younger son, and other times when we've been a bit more like the older son. And all of this is faithful biblical interpretation. This morning, however, let's consider what this parable reveals about the nature of God. Of God. Symbolized in this story is the father of the two sons. We believe that Jesus Christ perfectly reveals God's true nature. If you want to know what God is like, look to Jesus Christ. What is Jesus teaching his listeners and his disciples about what God is like? Remember, this parable was first told to Pharisees and scribes who thought they knew exactly what God wanted. But they were so sadly, terribly wrong. When the younger son got his inheritance, let's observe carefully that his father let him go the wrong way, even though that would have been a devastating blow. If we want to ruin our lives, we have free will, and God will not stop us. We can waste our stewardship of God's blessings on cheap sex and lots of booze if we like. And today, I don't know of anyone who's been struck by lightning, by the Lord, because they turned their back on him. Maybe we don't spend it that way, on sex and booze or something, but there's lots of other ways in which we can be wasteful stewards of what God himself has entrusted to our care. Let's Also notice the status of the younger son to his father during this wasteful season. It's as if he were dead to his father. Not because of the father's faithfulness, but because of the son's rebellion. We can be in a state of being physically alive, but spiritually dead. See the behavior of the father in this parable when his younger son makes the halting gestures at reconciliation. The father sees him far off. It's as if the father has been scanning the horizon, longing to see that figure coming home again. My favorite Old Testament prophet, Hosea, makes abundantly clear that God's heart is, as it were, broken when we are in rebellion against him. He longs for our return home. Come home, my son or my daughter, into my loving arms, into your true home. Come back. And the text reads that the father runs to meet the wayward son. And this too would have been disconcerting to the original audience. It was the son who did wrong. He ought to have come in shame before his father. But the nature of God is to take the initiative in reconciliation. It's the nature of God to take the initiative in reconciliation. He comes to us. And that father takes the same kind of initiative when he goes outside to his sulky older son and pleads with him to be part of this reconciled, joy-filled family. There's such celebration when the younger son shows up, isn't there? The Lord Jesus says there's more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons. Luke 15:7. Every time we wander and return, do we realize how much joy that brings in the heavenly places? This is not a, nice to see you, let's go and have a cup of coffee. This is a party. Can we imagine the best party we've ever been to? Not because of what food was served or what drink was served. Not because of an amazing location. But it's the best party because of who's there. The companionship and fellowship and love which is present. Not because we're given a nice ring or sandals for our feet when we show up, but because of who we're celebrating with. That's a foretaste, a hint of the joy of heaven. Yes, in this parable we can learn a lot about ourselves, what fallen human nature is really like, by considering those two sons. In this parable, we can also learn so much about the nature of God, represented by the Father in this parable, full of compassion, longing for relationship, full of joy at even our feeble efforts to find some place among the household servants. While he was still far off, his father saw him and had compassion. Amen.